If you plan on not moving, give the Lord a great big hand clap of praise today. Hallelujah. How many is thankful for this worship team? Are you as thankful as I am for this worship team? Amen. Are you as thankful as I am for all of these volunteers who serve these children this week in our vacation Bible school? Are you thankful for all of the servants that God has placed in this church? He that is greatest among you, let him be servant of all. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for a church that believes in servanthood. Jesus Christ was the greatest, Brother Chris, servant of all. Amen. And he modeled for us how to be a servant. Ministry is serving. Amen. And we're thankful today for the opportunity, amen, to be a servant of God, disciple of Christ. Stand with me if you're able today all over this house as we turn to the word of the Lord. Thankful, privileged to be able to bring the word of the Lord today. My heart is filled with joy and appreciation, amen, to see the response of this church, to see the work that it's doing. Amen. I'm so honored by all of our volunteers and all of our new volunteers who work so hard, amen, to make VBS special. Once again, we honor you, amen, and we're thankful for your labor of love. How many knows that in these last days, we're not going to reach the world without a labor of love? It's not going to happen. We need a labor of love, and I'm thankful today for that labor of love. Amen. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Matthew, the 13th chapter. Amen. Matthew, the 13th chapter, just four quick verses of Scripture. Amen. Something that's very familiar to you. If you're a student of God's Word, this is a familiar passage of Scripture. Amen. But today, I hope to place emphasis upon some things today. The Lord, in recent weeks, has given me a burden for church growth. And the Lord has really been speaking to me about how to take this church to the next level. And there are some people in this church that have gotten comfortable. Boy. I'm going to say it one more time. There's some people in this church who have gotten comfortable. But I believe the Lord wants to get you uncomfortable. I believe the Lord wants to get you uncomfortable. Amen. So we're going to concentrate in the days to come about what we can do to really make a difference in our community. Amen. And to reach the world. How many know time is running short? We're living in the last days, and the urgency is upon us. And you can feel in the atmosphere these confusing times that we are living in. But never before has the clarity of the kingdom of God come into view, Brother Paul. And in the midst of all the chaos and all of the confusion, the people that are standing under the sound of my voice today have a clear and absolute answer. All of the ills that the world is going through today, your life can be found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today, I want to embark on a little three-part series that I want to bring to this church. Amen. If you'll join me in the book of Matthew, the 13th chapter, the 47th verse. We're just going to read 47 through 50. Shout yes when you get there. Matthew 13, 47. If you don't have a Bible, see us before you leave today. We'll make sure you have one. Amen. We want you, every home, to have a Bible. Matthew 13, verse 47, and the word of the Lord says, again, the kingdom. Now, that tells me that it's already been said before. Again. How many know sometimes the Lord has to start his sentences to us, Sister Ange, with again. Again, I know you're comfortable, but again, all right, I'm going to say it again. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a net. It was cast into the sea, and it gathered of every kind, which when it was full, They drew it to shore, and they sat down, and they gathered the good into the vessels, but they cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world or the end of the age. The angels shall come forth. They shall sever the wicked from among the just and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. And there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. We had a great Father's Day banquet a few weeks ago. Our men's fishing trip is coming up very quickly. Today, we celebrate Father's Day. I want to preach something today that I believe applies to everyone that's in this room. But I believe it has a special appeal, or it appeals just a little extra to men. I want to preach to you hooked. How many is hooked on Jesus today? How many is hooked on Jesus today? Let's clap our hands in adoration unto the Lord. Let's clap our hands in appreciation of all of our fathers. Let's clap our hands in appreciation of all of our VBS volunteers and all of our servants that God has placed in our life. Let's clap our hands unto the Lord for our church, for our community, for our families, for our health, for our prosperity, for our solid minds, for every good gift that God has given us in our life. Let's clap our hands and magnify the Lord today. Hallelujah. He hooked me a long time ago. Let me tell you something. I'm not one of those paper mouths. That's what we call crappies. We call them paper mouths because that hook can come right out of a crappie's mouth if you ain't careful. You got to keep the line tight for you fishermen, all right? I ain't no crappie. The Lord hooked me, brother, a long time ago. Man, he hooked me good, amen, and I got no plans on being yoked with anything other than Jesus today. Amen. God bless you today. You may be seated. Amen. We're so thankful that you're joining us in the house of the Lord today. What a wonderful presence of God we have felt in this place. The kingdom of God is like unto a fishing net that is set to collect as many souls as possible, Brother Josh. Amen. A fishing net. Now, I know, you know, unless you're really familiar with fishing, you might not necessarily understand. And not long ago, a friend of mine and myself, we were going to go out and do some catfishing, some night fishing, and we couldn't find his seining net, so we had to go over to the Walmart there and to pick up a seining net. There is different types of fishing, and I don't want to concentrate so much on today on the aspect of line fishing as much as I want to concentrate on the concept of net fishing. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is, Brother Don, is likened unto a net. Amen. It's referring to a fishing net, amen, that the fishermen of old used to use, and still today people use them for commercial fishing and also for bait fishing. If you need to catch bait, we use what's called a seining net, or casting net. We go out to the creek, Brother Tim, and we throw that thing out and we pull it in, and it just gathers up everything that is in its way. Amen. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is likened unto a fishing net that's set to collect as many souls as possible. Now, I want you to hear me today. The concern is not with the kind of people that are caught in this divine fishing net, but rather it concentrates and is concerned more on just the fact that the net needs to be full. How many knows the net needs to be full today? How many want to see every room, every seat in this room filled to capacity? How many want to see How many want to see that back wall blow out? How many want to see these altars full? How many want to see lives transformed? How many want to see a diverse church? How many want to see a delivered church? How many want to see an excited church? I come to tell you today, if you'll get the net out and you'll start casting and we can start gathering everything that gets in the way of the net, the Lord can blow this thing wide open. The Lord can blow this thing. We ain't concerned so much about how big the fish is or what kind of fish it is, as long as the net is full. We want the net to be full today. We want people to be gathered and drawn to the house of God. We want people that are broken, people that are hurting, people that are addicted, people that are racist, people that are mixed. I don't care what you came from. We want you to come to the house of God. We want to watch the presence of God fall on you. We want to watch the Holy Ghost fill you. And we want to watch your life turn around and watch your feet be set on a rock to stay today. Somebody shout, stay. Stay. We want to see you be set on a rock to stay today. We want you to get hooked. Amen. We don't want you to be like an old paper mouth. All right. We want you to get hooked, and we want you to get hooked good today. Amen. We want the net to be filled. We are attempting to join the Lord, join ourselves together with the Lord in the casting of this divine net. Amen. How many know we need a bigger net? We need a wider net. We need a longer net. We need a stronger net. We need more people to hold the net. We need more people to cast the net. We want the net to be filled today, amen, with anybody and everybody, all walks of life, amen. We want to see lives transformed. How many believe God can transform lives today? Do you believe God enough to go to work and invite somebody to church? Man, I tell you what, there ain't nobody I won't invite to church. I could see President Biden at the Walmart this week, and I'm going to say, hey, sir, would you like to come and join me at church? Amen. There's nobody that I won't invite to church. I believe we need to have enough faith in God that there's no life he can't transform. There's nobody he can't turn around. There's nobody he can't change. If you'll have enough faith in God today, you'll invite anybody and everybody. It don't matter where they come from. Just cast out the net today and watch what the Lord is able to do. There are people in this room today that people had given up on. Yeah, there is. There are people in this room today that people had thrown in the towel on. But man, let me tell you something. The Holy Ghost has transformed them. Why? Because one day somebody wasn't too shy to just cast out a net and just start pulling it back in. Amen. We want the net to be filled today. And we got to join in with the Lord today in casting this divine net. And we do that by sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. How many know that there's nobody under the sound of my voice that the Lord did not call you to share the gospel of Jesus Christ? There's nobody under the sound of my voice that the Lord did not call you to reach into somebody's life, to tell them your story, to share with them how God has transformed your life and what a difference the church and the Holy Ghost and your desire to make it to heaven has made in your life. Nobody here today God called to do nothing. Amen. We're to join in with the Lord today. Our job is to offer the kingdom. Amen. Not only to people that we like. Not only the people that are like us. Not only the people, Sister Gail, that we think are worthy. Not only the people that we think will do good at this and succeed at this. Let me tell you something. I've done this long enough to figure out the ones I thought was going to make it fell by the wayside. And the ones I did not think were going to make it are still in the church today, Brother Eric. Why? Because we ain't fishing for big fish, ugly fish, strong fish. We're fishing for hungry fish. We're fishing for people that won't change. We're fishing for people that won't desire to be like Christ today. We're fishing for people that want to make it to heaven. And we're fishing for people that want to win souls and make a difference in the lives of other people today. My God, you cannot be apostolic today and not be concerned about souls. Man, let me burst your bubble today. You can't be apostolic and not love souls. So you know what that tells me? We better get our hands on the net. We better get to casting again. We better get to pulling in again. Our job today is to join in with Jesus Christ in casting this divine net and to pulling in the catch today. We don't get to decide what comes in. I was talking with someone earlier this morning, said they was out fishing this weekend. Not a whole lot I like to talk about more than fishing. They was out fishing this weekend and they said that they caught a snake fish. There's an invasive species that's invading our waters called the snake fish. Amen. And let me tell you something. We don't get to determine many times, especially if you're just fishing with a general bait like a night crawler or a bee moth or something like that. You don't get to determine when you cast that thing out. You don't know if the catfish is coming. You don't know if the crappie's coming. You don't know if the bass or the trout or the bluegill's coming. Whatever comes and gets a hold of that worm, that's what you reel in. All right, we don't get to determine who wants the gospel. We don't get to determine who's hungry for God. We just got to cast out the bait. We just got to tell our story. We just got to tell them what a difference Jesus can make in their life. We just got to tell them we got the answer to their problem. We got to tell them we know how to help get them to heaven today. We don't get to choose, amen, who's hungry for the things of God. We just got to get busy about doing the Father's work and casting out the bait and casting out the net. Amen. Because our job is to offer this to as many, to all who will. As many people as we can meet. As a matter of fact, I forgot, but I'm going to do it. Here in the days to come, very shortly, I got busy this week and I didn't get it done and I apologize for that, but I'm going to get a massive amount of business cards made for this church, and every single one of you is going to get a handful of business cards. And I'm going to ask you, as your pastor, that we start casting out the net. It's time for us to stop. It's time for us to stop keeping our mouths shut. It's time for us to stop holding on to our bait. It's time for us to stop keeping the net in our pocket. We got to get that thing out and we got to take part in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We got to reach our world and our community that we are living in. Amen. Our job is to share with the Lord and to take part in the casting of this divine net. Amen. Now, I know some of you, when I said that we're going to talk about hooked, some of you probably think, man, he's going to preach on pirates. We ain't going to preach on pirates or pirates or anything like that today. We're going to preach about the gospel of Jesus Christ, all right? We're going to talk about this saving gospel that we have at our exposure today. Man, you don't understand what you hold in your hands. You don't understand what you have to offer the world that you're living in today. I don't care if you've been in this church since its inception 7 years ago, or if you've been in this church for 7 days, you don't understand what you hold in your hand today. What you hold in your hand today can transform somebody's life. It can turn somebody's situation around. It can turn their life upside down. It can set them on a new path today. Amen. We want to talk a little bit about fishing today. I told you it applies to everybody, but it might appeal a little bit more to men. I know some women in here like to fish. I got women that come over to my house. I'll come home from work and there'll be women there fishing in the pond. God bless you, women. Keep on fishing. Amen. This weekend we were out and I was watching. I'm amazed because I was looking as we were going around the lake this weekend, and there was a lot of families that were there that you could tell that they were foreign. A lot of Hispanic families and Burmese families. And I'm watching these fathers on these banks, and they're over here, and they're teaching their children how to cast these poles and how to reel them in. And they're teaching their children, Brother Carl. And I was thinking, man, fishing in America, is we don't see a lot of our children being taught to fish. But those people that come here, you see, look, would they understand, for them, where they come from in Burma, where they come from in third world countries, fishing is not recreational. Fishing is a way of life. Fishing is something you do to survive, Brother Elijah. That's the way it was for the apostles and the first generation church. When we talk about fishing, all right, and when I preach to a group of people that are living in the 21st century, all right, who got microwaves on their counters, and microwave popcorn in the cabinets. What do you call that? Hamburger helper in the pantry. Ramen noodles. Man, them things are quick. You can heat them things up so fast, and you got instant meal. Right? Well, we are conditioned to having all of these things, all of these luxuries at the, Brother Joe, at the tips of our fingers. But people who come from third world countries, they see fishing different than we see fishing, Brother Joe. They see fishing as a way of life. They see fishing as a way to feed their family. And that's the way it was in the first century. That's the way it was in the first century church. When Jesus was talking about fishing, he understood that these people saw it as something that was absolutely necessary, Mother Peg. They saw it as something that was essential, all right? And when we look at fishing, we look at fishing as recreational. Well, I got to get out last night and wet a line. I got to go out Saturday and do a little fishing. But boy, they don't see it that way. They seen it as a way of life, a way to feed their family. And you know, in Jesus' times, fishing was a very common and a very important activity. It was not something that they done for recreation. It was something that they done to survive. Amen. So when Jesus transitioned from farming to fishing, he understood that he was speaking about something that would appeal to everybody, because they had to have something to eat. In fact, when you read your Bible, you'll see that many of the disciples were fishermen. That's what they did for a living. That's how they made their living. They were fishermen by trade. It was a very common activity. It was a very important activity. Many of the disciples were fishermen. Many of Jesus' parables were related to fishing. He spoke parables that involved fishing, and the work that the Lord did, most of it in his teaching revolved around the area of the Sea of Galilee. So fishing was an integral part of the first century church. And this is where Jesus did most of his ministry, his earthly ministry. Fishing was an important part of the New Testament life. And let me tell you something, learning to become fishers of men, which is what I'm talking to you about today, is an essential part of the New Testament life. Huh? You can't just say, well, I'm going to make it to heaven and I ain't going to worry about nobody else. You can't be apostolic and not be a fisherman. You can't be apostolic and not be concerned about souls. You can't be apostolic and not love the lost today. You got to be willing to get the net out of your pocket and throw it out and to pull some people in to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was an important part of the New Testament, and it's an important part of our New Testament discipleship today. Listen, unless you've never been fishing, you might not fully understand fishing. And I'm not talking about you just watching a little bit of the bass tournaments on television. All right? I'm talking about real life fishing, okay? I'm talking about learning to fish. Let me tell you something about fishing. Fishing requires something. Now, I remember when I was a kid, and my brothers and my sister and my mom and my cousin will all tell you, when we would go fishing with my grandma, we'd be sitting right next to her, casting right next to her, 10 feet away from her, and she's pulling in fish after fish after fish, and I'm looking next to her, and I'm thinking, Sister Gail, why ain't I catching fish? She's catching fish right beside me. Can I tell you, fishing requires something. You got to know what you're doing. Now, my grandfather used to always say that my grandmother had a special oil in her skin. He made her seem legendary, you know. He always said, well, now I'm telling you, when she touches those night crawlers, it's just something different. When she handles those night crawlers, right? And man, when I was young, I believed it. Because she's catching fish right next to me, and I'm casting out, and I'm fishing as hard as I can, and I'm not catching anything, Brother Dave, but she's catching everything. Let me tell you something. Fishing is, you got to have some knowledge to catch fish. All right? Let me tell you something. Fishing requires something of you. Now, how many have ever been fishing and didn't catch anything? Pretty much every hand in the house, right? That tells you that you got to have some knowledge to fish. Number one, you got to know where the fish are at. You got to have the proper equipment. Let me tell you something. Fishing requires patience. You got to have some patience to fish. I take my grandbabies out. I take little Steve out to the pond, and I'll bait her hook, and she'll throw it out there, and man, it won't sit there, Sister Amy, for 10 seconds, and she's... I said, whoa, you can't do that. You got to let it sit out there. You got to wait for the fish. You got to give the fish some time to see the bait, right? How many know fishing requires some patience? And the children of God got to learn patience. Patience is a virtue. And if you're going to catch fish, and if you're going to be a fisherman of men, you got to learn to have some patience with what you're fishing for. You ain't going to make everybody everything you want them to be overnight. You're going to have them to give them some grace to grow in the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ. Fishing takes patience. Fishing takes skill. Fishing takes having the right equipment. Fishing can be mental. Now, let me tell you, when I'm sitting next to my grandmother, she's catching all these fish and I'm catching nothing, I'm feeling a little crazy. Fishing, you got to be mentally strong. You got to be physically strong. How many have been fishing, and before you know it, man, you're just wore out, and you feel like you can't walk another path because you get physically tired. Fishing for men, Brother Joe, can wear you out. Fishing for men can upset you because you don't always get what you expect. Huh? You don't always get what you expect. You got to be tough. You got to have patience. You got to have skill. You got to have mental strength. You got to have a willingness to get your hands dirty. How many know you can't bait a hook and not get your hands dirty? My girls used to tell me, hey, Dad, here, bait my hook. And I say, no, you take that worm and you squeeze that hook right through it. You're going to get that worm guts all over your hands just like I got it on my hands. How many know fishing for people can get you dirty? Huh? You ain't always going to get everything you want. But you got to understand, you got to have some patience. You got to have some toughness. You got to have some knowledge. Now, I was talking with Sister Anna just before service about a situation that her and I are praying about that requires knowledge and understanding. You cannot approach every situation the same. If you go to somebody out of season, or you go to somebody that God has not opened a door for you, you are wasting your time. Fishing requires patience, and fishing requires a willingness to get your hands dirty, and fishing requires some understanding about what you're doing. And if we're going to be disciples in these last days, and we're going to win souls, and we're going to cast divine nets, and we're going to pull people into the church to get them saved and help them to get to heaven, we're going to have to do it with some understanding. We're going to have to do it with some understanding. Can I tell this church today that fishing ain't always easy? But how many want to see this church full? Come on, how many want to see the drugs fall off? How many want to see the alcohol fade away? How many want to see the depression and the anxiety flee? How many want to see the marriages put back together again? How many want to see children grow up with mom and dad both in the home? How many want to see lives transformed? We got to get patient. We got to get tough. We got to have some understanding. We got to understand that fishing is not always easy. In fact, Peter told the Lord when he said, cast your nets out on the other side. He said, Lord, you don't understand. We've been out here all night long and we are beat. We ain't caught a single fish and we're wore out. And the Lord said, cast your nets on the other side. Fishing can wear you out. And I know that there are people in this church. Look, I have taught Bible studies to people in this church. I have spent close to a year in Bible study with people in this church, and they turned around and walked away. Fishing for people ain't always easy. Fishing for people can be disappointing sometimes. Fishing for people can hurt you sometimes. Let me tell you something. You got to have the right tools. You got to have the right mindset. You got to have the knowledge. How many know we need to grow if we're going to be fishermen of men and if we're going to cast God's divine net today? We need to grow ourselves. See, fishing sounds a lot like ministry because it is. That's why Jesus used it, Brother Peter. He used fishing because they related to fishing. Because fishing sounds a lot like ministry. You got to be patient. You got to have a love for it. How many know you go out and you get rejected a bunch of times offering the gospel to people and they reject you and reject you and reject you? You got to have a love for it to keep doing what's getting you rejected. You got to have a love for fishing today. If you're going to be a disciple maker, if you're going to cast God's divine net, you got to have a love for fishing. And even though, listen, fishermen would need to know where the fish were at. How many know we got to know where the fish are at today? You know, we got to cast a large net into the water from a boat or from the shore, and we got to scoop in as many fish as possible. But the fishermen would need to know where the net was at. That's why the Lord told Peter, he said, cast your net on the other side. You've been fishing in the wrong places. That's one of the reasons why statistics show that churches that are planted in poor areas with high crime grow twice as fast as churches that are planted in areas where people are doing well and have money. We got to know what we're fishing for today. We're fishing for broken people. We're fishing for hurting people. We're fishing for lives that have dysfunction in them so we can teach them the gospel of Jesus Christ. With fish, the fishermen got to know where the fish are at. Church, there's some precision on how to work the net. Huh? You throw out the net and it's all kinds of tangled up and it ain't spread out and it ain't scooping up. You ain't pulling in no fish. How many know there's a lot of people out there with a Bible under their arm who don't know how to use the net? Oh, yeah. There's a lot of people out there with a Bible under their arm, but they don't know how to use the net. You're in a church today that wants to teach you how to use the net today. We want to gather up God's harvest in these last days. And the sea represents all the people that are in the world. And sometimes, church, we get frustrated with the world. I get frustrated with the world. You're going to get frustrated with the world. You're going to get frustrated with rejection. But the Lord loves the world. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Huh? So whosoever, come on, everybody say whosoever. whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. God loves the world. We can't get discouraged about God's business today. The Lord isn't looking for the perfect bass. The Lord isn't looking for the perfect rainbow trout. The Lord isn't looking for the perfect catfish. The Lord's looking for hungry fish. The Lord's looking for people who want change desperately in their life. The Lord's looking for people who want transformation. He came to redeem the whole world. He came to redeem the whole world. And he's not going to reach the whole world, amen, Sister Betsy, unless we are willing to get our hands on this divine net and willing to cast it out and scoop in and bring people in and teach them the gospel of Jesus Christ. He lowered the gospel net of salvation, scooping up anything and everything in the path. How many know the net does not discriminate? I'm going to say that again. The net does not discriminate. Huh? The net don't care what gets in its way. It's going to bring it in. Huh? The net will bring it in. The net does not discriminate. Jesus gave us a description of what the church should look like in the book of Revelation, the 7th chapter. When he said, after this, John the Revelator saw this, and he said, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that nobody could even count. There were so many people. He said, I saw a multitude of people there, and you couldn't even count them all. And they were from every nation. They were from every tribe. They were from every people and every language. And they were standing before the throne and before the Lamb of God. The Bible says they were wearing white robes. They were wearing white robes, hallelujah, and they were holding palm branches in their hands, and they were crying with a loud voice, salvation to our God who sits on the throne. That's a description of what the church should look like today, an uncountable multitude of people, people from every nation. People from every tribe, people from every people there is on the face of the earth and every language, all standing before the throne ready to worship God. The righteous and the unrighteous. How many know we can't just have the righteous in the church? We got to have the righteous and the unrighteous. You know how many people I've had come here, how many evangelists I've had come here who says, you want to know what I love about your church? I can tell there are people in your church that ain't been there very long. I can tell you're reaching people and you're winning new converts to the Lord. Let me tell you something. The Lord is pleased in a church that's reaching the lost and bringing them in the net. That's what the church should look like today. People from every nation, every tribe, every language, all standing before the throne worshiping God. Now, eventually, yeah, the net's going to have to be sorted out. Right? We go out and we cast the net and we bring it all in. Now, eventually, there's going to be a sorting. How many know sometimes the church goes through a sorting? Eventually, Brother Peter, if you throw out that casting net over there in New York and you're dragging along with that boat, when you get up to the shore, there's some critters in there you don't want. You got to pick them out the net and you got to toss them back in the water, right? So eventually there has to be some sorting. And the Lord and the angels of God will do that sorting. Our job is not to pick and choose. Our job is to gather in the harvest. Our job is to bring in the lost. Our job is to give the gospel to the people. And the Lord will separate the wheat and the tare. Eventually, there's going to have to be a sorting out because the net drags everything in. It's kind of like that junk drawer you got at the house. How many got a junk drawer at the house? Don't lie. Everybody in here got a junk drawer at the house. You know what you do? You come home, and you come home, and anything and everything that you don't have time to mess with, you open that drawer and you throw it in there, and you shut that drawer. I got one in my bedroom. On my nightstand right next to the bed, everything that I get that I don't have time to mess around with, Brother Elisha, I open that drawer, I throw it in, I'll get to it later, I throw it in there, and I shut the drawer. Now, That works for a little while, but eventually, every couple of years, the drawer gets so full you can't put nothing else in it. I let Sister Lexi be over worship, and you can't get nothing in the drawer. So eventually, you got to come back to the drawer, and you got to take all the junk out of the drawer, and you got to go through the drawer. That's the same way it is with the net. The Lord will do the sifting. And some people ain't going to stay in the church no matter what you do for them. You can pay every bill they got. You can pray for every family member they got. You can beg them every week to come to church. And no matter what, if they ain't hungry, they ain't staying in the church. Well, what's that rule, Brother Paul? You can never outwork your patient. Huh? So many times, there's times that I've had to just realize that there are the prodigals, and then there are just the lost that need direction. But then there's those people that they don't want it. They're not interested. Until they hit rock bottom, they're not going to be interested. We have people in this church, people that are not in this church right now, until they get to the bottom, they're not going to stop digging. And there's nothing we can do to change that. And we can't get frustrated with the world that Jesus loves. So what do? We keep praying for them. We keep loving them. We use knowledge when it comes to them. How many know fishing requires skill? Fishing requires skill. But eventually, every once in a while, that junk drawer's got to get cleaned out. The net's got to get cleaned out. The Bible says that there'll come a point, and there'll come a place where the sinners won't be able to sit amongst the righteous. How many know you stay in the church long enough and you ain't hungry for the things of God, you will find a reason to leave. You will. He that desires to be offended needeth not an offense. If you're in the church long enough and you ain't desiring to change and you ain't desiring to grow and you don't want to be more like Jesus Christ, you will find a reason to leave the church. Huh? You will. Eventually there will be a sifting. Eventually you'll have to, the Lord will sort out the net, and not everybody that comes into the church will stay into the church. Because sometimes the Lord's got to sort some stuff out. And that's what verse 51 and verse 52 are talking about. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come and sever the wicked from among the just. I don't want to be, Sister Diane, somebody that the angels comes and separates me from God's people. I want to stay on fire for Jesus. I want to stay hungry for the things of God. I want to keep my eyes on those lost souls that the world loves. I want to keep my eyes on the cross, and I want to keep my goal as to making it to heaven. The Bible says, so shall it be at the end of the world. The angels are going to come forth, and they're going to sever the wicked from among the just. And then they're going to cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Church, this is not a game. This is not a game. Heaven is at stake. Heaven is to gain. But so is hell. So is hell. This is not a game today. Your salvation is not a game today. This is not a recreational hobby today. This is a lifestyle. This is something that must consume you. This is something you must be in Him, and He must be in you. This is not recreational activities today. This is not something you do when you got time to do it. You give your all to Jesus Christ. You give your life to Jesus Christ. You give your abilities to Jesus Christ. Because the angels are coming, and they're going to sift out what's in the net. They're going to sever the wicked from among the just. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be plucked out of the Father's hands. I don't want to miss heaven today. The Word of God has given a harsh reality to those who do not believe the gospel. But it's also giving a wake-up call to those who do. It's giving a wake-up call to those who do believe the gospel. This is not going to be easy. Catching fish requires skill. Catching fish requires patience. Catching fish requires you to be equipped. You got to study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman needeth not to be ashamed. We need the word of God as a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We need the Spirit of God to lead us. So me and Sister Anna was talking about, I said, you just need to pray that the Lord will give you an opportunity to speak into their life. Right? We need to pray. We got to have wisdom. We got to have knowledge. And we got to have the Holy Ghost to lead us. Catching fish requires skill. The Word of God's given a harsh reality to those that don't believe. It's given a staunch warning to those who do believe. As long as we're in the net together, church, there's still hope. If you're in the house of God today, there's still hope. If you're in the house of God today, you better love them. If you're in the net today, you better pray for them. If they're in the net with you today, you better seek God for them. You better encourage them. You better offer a hand to them when they're feeling down. You better call them and check on them once in a while. They're in the net with you. There's still hope today. If they're still in the net, we got to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We got to take part in this divine net. As long as they're in the net today, there's still hope. We still have time to share the gospel with the people that are around us. We still have time to pray and seek salvation for our families, our neighbors, our coworkers, the lady at Walmart who's walking down the aisle crying her eyes out. We got to love God's people. If we want to see this church grow, we got to love God's people today. But there will come a time when the final trumpet blows. The end of the age comes, and there won't be no time left. And there's going to be people, just like there were people, as my grandfather used to say, in the days of Noe. Who come up to that ark, the door was already shut, man, and they're beating on that ark with everything they got. Let us in that boat. This water is rising. Let me tell you something, when that day comes and the angels of the Lord come and begin to do the sifting, it's too late. You've played games with God one day too long. You've played games with God one time too many. Let me tell you something, your salvation is not a game today. It's something you ought to take serious today. And your neighbor's salvation, the ones that are sitting in this room with you today, is not a game. It's something that we should take serious today. We ought to be in prayer for one another. We ought to be loving one another. We ought to be seeking God for one another. There's going to come a time, church, our chances are going to run out and the sorting is going to begin. But that job is up to the Lord today, the chief fisherman. We don't get to decide who remains in the net. I know there's times you get frustrated with your brothers and your sisters, but you don't get to decide who's in the net. The Lord, the chief fisherman, will do the sorting. He is the one who will do the sorting. The divine creator will do the sorting. Stand with me today as the musicians come quickly. We talked earlier about some things that fishing requires. Don't be like little Stevie. Fishing requires patience. Don't be like my wife. She's impatient when it comes to fishing. That's where Stevie gets it. Fishing requires patience. Fishing requires skill. Fishing requires the proper equipment. One time I went out fishing, Brother Joe and I ended up landing, I think it was 48 pound catfish. 48 pounds. Now, if I had had a little cane pole or a little ultralight, I would have been in trouble. But you know what I had? I had a big old catfishing pole. Thing was that big around. And when I hooked that big old fish, I had the equipment that I needed to get that fish in. Fishing requires skill. We need to pray and we need to seek God. Lord, give me the words to say to this one. Give me a door that I can walk in. Give me influence with this man or with this woman or with this child that I can act in coordination with you, that I can cast this divine net and I can pull them into your house. Fishing requires something of us today. It requires skill, requires equipment. It requires patience. It requires being willing to get your hands dirty. Sometimes the last thing we want to do is deal with somebody else's mess. Can I tell you today, fishing requires you get your hands dirty. The other day, I was out there fishing. I caught a little bass in my pond. I took it off and swallowed the hook real good. I was having a hard time getting this. I was manhandling this little bass. I was trying to get these pliers all the way down in there. I was trying not to kill him, trying to get this hook. It was hooked all the way down in the bottom of his throat. Man, I had handled every part of that fish. When I got done, I could smell it. I threw that fish back in the water, and he swam off. And I was like, man, boy, I can smell that fish all over me. Sometimes fishing's going to make you stink. Sometimes fishing's going to make you get down in places you didn't want to get. Sometimes fishing's going to require you to be around people that you don't care to be around. Fishing takes patience. Fishing takes being the willingness to get dirty. Fishing takes some skill. Fishing takes some understanding today. If we're going to take part in the casting of God's divine net and the gathering in of his harvest, if we want to blow that back wall out, if we want to see our families in the house of God, if we want to see our children in the house of God, we're going to have to become students of fishing. We're going to have to learn to be fishers of men. And that's going to require something of you. How many want to see your family saved? How many want to see your grandbaby saved? How many want to see that neighbor next door to you saved? How many want to see Grandma Betty or Papa Charlie or Uncle Donnie saved? How many got somebody you love and you're worried that they're going to lift up their eyes in hell if you don't realize a way to reach them? Fishing requires something of you today. If you're going to take part and put your hands on God's divine things, you got to do it with all your heart. You got to do it with all your heart today. You got to be hooked. You got to get people hooked. Come on. We do our part, the Lord will do his part. All we got to do is get the net out and bring the people in. And let the Lord do his work. Man, there are people in here. I have watched things fall off of their life. There ain't nothing more rewarding to a pastor than watching lives transform before his very eyes. I see that on a weekly basis in this church, people's lives transforming and changing. That's the result of being a fisher of men, loving God's people. We need to think this week how we can share the gospel of Jesus Christ through casting out his net. Lord, what is it that we need? We need to pray and seek God. Lord, what do we need? Do we need more patience? Do we need more understanding? Do we need the words to say to them? Lord, give us influence with them. Let them see the benefits of my life, the way that I live my life. We need to seek God today. We need to pray. We need to hone our skills. We need to seek the word of God. We need to pray for mental and spiritual toughness and the love for the things of God that will cause you to not give up. You got to have a love for the things of God. You got to humble yourself, church. You got to be willing to get dirty. You got to get down where God's people are at. And you got to love them there. Pray that God will use you for His glory. Pray that God will equip you with what you need to be a good fisherman, to bring in His harvest in these last days. We all have people in our lives that we love that are lost. Let's pray for the wisdom to speak to them wisely, to reach into their lives and to show them the benefits of living for God. You are fishermen of men. That's what you are today. You are fishermen of men. And that's going to require something of you. Let's seek to do it right today. Let's seek to do it with all of our heart today. Let's seek to make the Lord proud today. Let's do it with all of our heart, and let's do it with the best of our ability. Let's hold on to God's burden for the lost. Let's show this world what it's like to really be hooked. To really be hooked. How many is hooked on the Lord today? How many have nothing in your life that you desire more than the presence of the Lord in your life? We're going to sing this closing song. I want you to get